Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
All right. We're airborne on a Wednesday. Thank you for choosing to tune in to this show. We appreciate you very much. We today being just myself, I'm Radio's The Bulldog, Zach Jones, G hanging out, running the stream for the Twitch and the YouTube. Hello, Bullpen. Mike has the day off today. He should return tomorrow. Got a fun show. I'm very excited about our 4 o'clock guest. And this is a little bit of a curveball guest to preview Sunday's Saints visit to Buffalo to play the Bills, because Steve Bennett is not someone who covers the Saints, but he's one of the biggest Saints fans I've ever known in my life. He is a podcaster, has a very popular, even famous podcast called The Sportscasters. He's been gracious enough to have both myself and Mike on, I think more than once. I think we did it once together, and I remember doing it, I think, by myself with Steve another time, if I remember correctly, but I may be misremembering because that happens. And I don't know, early this week, Monday, I think, sitting in here thinking about the week. The Saints are not a team that comes up often on the schedule. Like, we've got, you know, we've got guys that are go-to guys, right? Dan Lubberfeld, Connor Rogers with the Jets, Armando, Marcel, Louis Jacques with the Dolphins. And, you know, we got a Houston sideline guy. We got a guy in Baltimore, Jeremy Kahn, Alex Gold in Kansas City. I'll stop. This is not like you go to the Saints page in our Rolodex, which we don't have, and there's just nothing there. And I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, we could just, you know, scan Twitter, find people who cover the team. That works out well. That's how we got in touch with many of the people I just mentioned in the first place years ago. Just, you know, we need someone who covers the team. I hope this person can talk. Come on. And it's always, you know, generally worked out pretty well. Thinking about the Saints, I'm like, you know, we should call Steve. That's who we should call for this Saints preview, as he's things are pretty bad right now, and I'm just really interested to hear from a fan's perspective. So that's coming up at 4. I'm excited about that. I'm going to need some guardrails up to make sure Steve and I don't just fall into a 25-minute conversation about Pearl Jam. I'll try to be careful on that front. And Sal will be on at 5. And then we got like a big TBD, a game time decision next to Paul's name on the schedule today. We'll see if we get a chance to visit with Paul today at 6 o'clock. Sabres off a couple of nice-looking preseason performances the last two nights. Monday night in Columbus, last night at home. They've given up one goal across the two games. So if we don't get to Paul, we will maybe spend some time ourselves talking about what's going on there, as they're off today, I believe, and then back at it tomorrow night in Detroit for another preseason game. This will run into next week, and then before you know it, the Rangers will be in town and the Sabres will be playing regular season games. Also want to spend a good amount of time today poring over something that I talked a lot about at the end of July. I put a poll up at the end of July trying to sort of forecast the Bills' receiving core, and that includes tight ends. And so I revisited that and reposted the same poll with the same question 3 games in, and we'll get to that in a second. But I want to start out with the weird. Rather than just wait to get weird, I want to start weird. I'm afraid we won't get to weird if I don't do it now. So I posted this on Twitter. It did not get a ton of traction today. So, you know, maybe it's a garbage idea to even bring up and talk about. You know, we'll see. I did get some funny responses. Something happened overnight last night. I had a dream last night about something that I have never dreamt about, at least that I can remember. I don't remember ever having a dream about playing for the Bills. I don't. I'm not someone who ever, you know, aspired to that. It was just not in the cards. When I was younger, when I was fast, I was slow. I can imagine. I mean, it just was never. Not only did I dream I played for the Bills, I left the best part out. I dreamt that I was playing receiver for the Bills. That's where the I was slow even when I was fast part comes in, because like the idea of me playing wide receiver. Is it possible to be a possession receiver who never leaves the line of scrimmage? Because that would be the role they would have to carve out for me. Like, I really like, this guy's a good team guy. He claps well. He pays attention. He knows everybody's names, even the cafeteria workers. Good for culture. But there's not a lot skill set going on there. His separation numbers aren't good. Maybe we can just throw it to him at the line of scrimmage. Yeah. Anyway, so I've never had that dream before. Anything really like it. I mean, I've had a couple of hockey dreams that maybe I'll get around to sharing at some point. But I've never dreamt of being a football player, let alone a Bills player, let alone a Bills wide receiver. But that happened last night. Let me rewind just a little. I think I might have a clue as to how this happened or why this happened. When I'm going to be, not really any night I go to bed, one thought I will often have before I really sort of shut it down, right? Get off the social media or whatever game I'm watching and just say, like, okay, it's really lights out, I'm going to bed. One of the last thoughts I'll have is about the next day's show. You know, just because I like to have the comfort of something of an idea. It doesn't always work. Sometimes I give up and just fall asleep because, you know, it's July and I have no idea what I'm going to be talking about. And I hope that something will happen overnight. And I'll get up in the morning and be like, oh, that's what we'll talk about tomorrow. But this is especially something that I'm prone to do when I know I'm going to be working by myself on a given day. Like, I knew Mike was going to be off today. And so last night, I'm in bed, and really the last thought I remember having was about this poll that I put up back at the end of July about who's going to be like the next receiver in line behind presumably Shakir, right? Coleman, Kincaid, Palmer, receiver slash pass catcher, right? And that was my thought, like, yeah, you know, that might be good. I'll find the poll, I'll repost it, and we'll spend some time talking about that. So I think as I was falling asleep, I was thinking about Bills receivers, and that led to me dreaming about being on the team. This won't take long. Here are the details as best I can remember them. I've made the team. I'm somewhat surprised that I'm on the Bills. I'm a receiver on the Bills, all right? And we're running out of the tunnel for presumably the first game of the year or the first game of the year that I'm going to be playing in, I don't know, whatever. We're running out of the tunnel. And this is the moment. This is a little bit like I didn't study for the test or I have a speech to give and I'm naked in front of the audience sort of thing. We're running out of the tunnel. And I'm realizing I don't know the playbook at all. I mean, I don't know anything at all. What's the line the woman says in that Ozark show on Netflix? I don't know blank about blank. That's me running out onto the field in a uniform. I do not know what number I was wearing. I wish I did. I'd make it up, but you know, I want to be authentic. So I don't know what number I'm wearing. But I'm a Bills receiver, and we're running out. You know, the fireworks are going off, and the you know, the announcer's going crazy, and the crowd's going crazy, and I'm running out there, and I'm like, I don't know anything. I don't know any of the plays. What am I? Well, my God, I'm just faking it. Just go, I'm running. Yeah, woo, go Bills. You know, high five and everybody. And one of my teammates, one of my fellow receivers, one of my fellow Bills receivers, again, wish I had a name for you. I don't. I did not see this person's face. I wish it had been Keon Coleman, just because the way that the dream ends up going. I asked this player, this fellow receiver, I'm like, dude, I don't know the plays. I didn't think I was going to be on the team. I'm on the team. I don't know the plays, and I'm in the lineup, and what? And whoever this is says, don't worry. None of us know. I'll tell you what you got to do on a given play. Don't worry about it. It's not that big a deal. It's not that complicated or something like that, which is like, you know, in the dream, I went like, okay, but there's no way I would believe that, but in the dream, I did. So, you know, we go out there. I catch a pass on a third down for a first down. I hear the stadium guy go, I don't know exactly, I should have noticed this on Thursday, but I didn't pay particular attention to the order in which things are said, but something like, pass complete to Parker for 9 yards, first down Bills. And that's it, the dream ends. I woke up, it was like, WTF, what just happened here? I'm a Bills receiver. I don't know the plays. And I caught a first down pass and then I woke up. That is a very new thing to me. I do not harbor any illusions or delusions about, you know, playing football. I'm 60 years old. And like I said, when I was 20, I was slow when I was fast. So there's you know, there's not like some, I'm harboring something. I think it really was just simply the connect. I don't know. I've not read and studied about dreams. So I think it's because I was thinking about Bills receivers and that just connected and there it was. So, you know, pass complete to Parker, Bills first down, and I wake up. So I don't know how it ended. I don't know. You know, maybe I had a great career, but that was the end of it for me. And I just thought, like, how often do fans, is this something that happens to fans with any kind of regularity? Maybe when you were younger, maybe when you were playing sports, if you played high school or college football or high school or college hockey, maybe you have had this dream about the Sabres or something. I've had hockey dreams, but never about, you know, playing in the NHL or playing at any kind of high level, because I never did that. So I put it out on Twitter. I got a couple of fun responses. One from JD said, yes, I was playing third base for the Tigers, made three errors, and Sparky Anderson sent me home in the middle of an inning. Kirk Gibson tripped me going into the dugout, which I love how vivid that is. Like, if that's real, JD, that's excellent. Robin says, Robin, our resident Wyoming Bills fan, says she regularly dreams she's a defensive tackle who crushes whatever quarterback is up next, which I love that. That was it. It was kind of not a lot of response. I was hoping it would get more weird than that, but I just really enjoyed. It's fun when you can remember your dream. Like, you know, like I don't, it doesn't happen all the time to me. In fact, it rarely does. And rarely does it result in something that I feel like is worth sharing on the show. I dream about all, you know, my truck or something, or my golf game, and who cares about that? I mean, who cares about any of this? But to have a Bills dream was very odd for me, and just kind of cool. Just wanted to share. So if any of you have got, if you're harboring stories about dreams of playing for the teams you love, please feel free to share at 803-0550. You can just sprinkle them in through the day, or you can, you know, hit me up on Twitter/X Still have not settled into calling it X, even though it says X.com now. For a while there, I was able to just avoid that by saying that the website is still Twitter, but it's not. It hasn't been for a long time. Anyway, so that's that. I just wanted to share if anybody's got that. But we are. I've got the paper. Today is one of those days where I'm contractually obligated to talk about receiving. And the Bills wide receivers. It's written here. Don't, if you're watching on Twitch or YouTube, just ignore the fact that the paper's blank, okay? It doesn't really say anything. I'm just ruffling the paper for effect. I hope it worked. Anyway, onward. Weird dream aside, but, you know, again, I'm happy to revisit. Don't, if I move on subject-wise, do not be shy about calling if you've got something you would like to share with me and thus the audience. I'd love to hear it. So when at the end of July, the first time I had this conversation, it's not the first time. Yeah, the first time we ever talked about the Bills receivers. No. But when I did this back at the end of July, I posted a poll that I'm now efforting again to try to find and see if I can while I'm talking, and that might be hard. But I asked, who is, I'll just sort of paraphrase, I don't have to quote the poll. It's my poll anyway. Like, do you care? If you had to bet on a receiver aside from Shakir, sort of assuming a baseline for Shakir that would lead to him being the Bills' leading receiver, and while he's not leading the team in receptions through three games, he's only off the mark by three. Coleman's got 14, Kincaid's got 13, Shakir's got 11. The premise here is that Shakir is the most bankable commodity they have receiving-wise. He led the team in receptions last year by a healthy amount, by almost, I think, more than 30 catches over whoever was in second. I think maybe that was still Kincaid. Anyways, give Shakir the, he's probably going to lead them in receptions. This is back into the end of July. Who would you bet on to, quote-unquote, break out among the Bills pass catchers? And the breakout, in my view at that time, still pretty modest, 60 receptions, 6 to 10 touchdowns. Who do you like to reach those thresholds the most? Who do you think has the best chance? And the poll was Kincaid, Coleman, Palmer, other. And, yeah, I got a couple of replies back then about Elijah Moore, and good call. He's made the team, and he's outranking Curtis Samuel so far, who's not gotten a game day jersey yet through three games. And Moore has made a couple of flashy plays, a big, nice reception that helped them seal the game against Miami, led to the final field goal and given them a 10-point lead, which they ultimately won by 10. But, you know, those three guys were the centerpiece of the poll. And at the time, I was very bullish on Coleman being the breakout guy. Like, that would have been my vote, and that is who won the poll. At that time, again, this is summer. Training camp has been going on for maybe 5 days when we're talking about this at the end of July. I would, and already by then, there had been Kincaid legs wrapped up, missed a day of practice with soreness. And I was like, oh no, here we go. Oh boy. I thought that was a very bad sign that early in camp. Turns out it was not much of a bad sign at all. He has looked great. But Coleman won the poll that day with like 61% of the vote. I couldn't find it here to pull it up, but Kincaid was second with like 30-something, and Palmer had like 4% of the vote or something, like very, very small number. So it was heavy Coleman, a little Kincaid, and like almost no Palmer was the voting. And here we are 3 games in, and, you know, Coleman looks fine, to use the show's word. He's been fine. He really flashed late in the game against Baltimore. Pretty modest the last 2 weeks, but still, he is their leading receiver with 14 catches. I did some math. He's on pace for like 79 receptions so far. He's only got the one score on that tip ball in the Baltimore game, but it's going nicely for Coleman. But to me, the big turnaround, and this is evidenced by the second time around with the same poll, same wording, who do you like beyond Shakir to post numbers in the 60 catch, 6 to 10 touchdown range? and Kincaid is running away with it today. Not surprisingly, I was scared by that one missed practice and how last year went, and just really worried that there was maybe the start of like a, I don't know, chronic sounds so severe, but just a problem, a recurring problem with his legs, with his knees. So I was scared off of him in the summer, but the season could not have gotten off to a better start for him so far. He looks fantastic. He looks athletic. Right, I mean, right from the start, first drive, it's a down-the-seam touchdown to Kincaid. The touchdown against Miami last week, the catch, that was not an easy catch. That ball was thrown pretty low. He had to go down to get it kind of awkwardly and managed to still keep his feet. And I think Chris Brown said it on the call, stumble into the end zone. I thought it was incredible that he kept his feet to get in the end zone on that play. Very good play. And he is also getting credit, and I think rightly so, right from the start. Again, that first drive against Baltimore, he is mauling some dude right into the Baltimore bench blocking. The Shakir touchdown late last week against Miami, Kincaid is out front of that. Like, he's doing more. The Bills called on him in the offseason. They sort of, you know, lack of a cuter way to put it, called him out. We need you to, you know, put on weight. Get stronger, hold up to the rigors of the season, and, you know, that strength obviously could come in handy blocking. And so far, so good. I mean, he's not Jackson Hawes, he's not even Dawson Knox, but what he isn't any longer, it looks like, is a liability in that area, which I would say mostly he's just not the guy you'd want to ask to do any of the heavy lifting there. That's why he hasn't had some success earlier in his career, but I think it's hitting in a different way so far this year. And Kincaid is having a fantastic start to the year. And he's winning this poll today. I think, I'll be able to find it during the break, but I can't talk and find it. I think he's got like 70% of the vote so far, being like the Bills' basically second leading receiver for the season. And Coleman is still in the high 20s. Palmer doesn't exist. You know, sort of like in reality here. Like, as far as the stats go through three games, you know, Palmer, again, had a really big important catch against Baltimore, but that is one of only 8 receptions so far through 3 games. So it's been sort of hit and miss there for him, but Coleman and Kincaid are off to very good starts, and I'm very encouraged by that from Kincaid, because if they can count on him to do both things credibly, in other words, you can't maybe any longer just blow him off as a blocker. But you know he is the most dynamic by miles of the three tight ends as far as a receiving target goes. I just think the opportunity to do a variety of things with those formations are there for you. You could even get to a point where you could have Hawes and Kincaid on the field and still feel like you can run the ball and use him as a blocker. And what that can do for you is obviously spring him in the receiving game all the more. If you can spring him in the receiving game out of 2 tight end and 3 tight end sets, I just think you really have a leg up. And it's a very, very, I think, key development for the Bills here through 3 games is how Kincaid physically looks and how he's handling all the parts of the job. Obviously, the receiving is the focus and the most important, the most valuable. But the better and the more credibly he can be viewed as a blocker, the better. And that is going very well here through 3 games. So I would also – I voted Coleman. I couldn't vote. It's my poll. X doesn't let you do that. I'd have to, you know, create a ghost account, and it's not that important. So I voted Coleman back in the summer. I would vote Kincaid now. the way the season has started. I was scared of injury, lingering issues, and none of that seems to be a bother. Again, it's early. It's only three games, but it looks great. Does that mean I'm down on Coleman? Again, the season has started, I think, very effectively for him as well. I just think Kincaid is becoming what we were hoping he would be after that 73-catch rookie season. Last year was really a lost year, as it turned out. So you want to get in on the conversation about the receiving core, the offense overall. Love to hear it. 803-0550. Lines are wide open, as is usually the case when one or the other of us is off. A little more room, a little more time for calls. So, you know, line them up. I'd love to hear from you on this. If you've got a Bills or Sabres or just in general sports dream story you would like to share based on my delusional vision last night of playing receiver for the Bills, love to hear that too. 803-0550 is the number. We'll preview the Saints with Steve Bennett at 4, Sal at 5. I am the Bulldog. Thanks for listening. This is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A motto that Joe started telling us, but I think you can't pin it on one person because I think it takes every single person on the field for that to actually work. You know, every single person involved, it takes everyone, you know. So I think it works for us because you do have a whole bunch of unselfish guys. You know, everybody eats is receivers blocking in the run game. It's running back stepping up in the pass game and making blocks. Like it's all that in one.
Bills wide receiver Khalil Shakir. Wonder how he's reacting to the news that I'm on the team now. Talking on the Kay Adams podcast about the Bills receiver room and their mentality and the entire offense and everybody eats and you know the drill. Mark on Twitter says, I had the reference to Shakir, his reaction to me being on the team is a reference to my my dream from last night that I was playing receiver for the Bills. I'm getting notified by my friend Ben texted me. A couple of people on Twitter have mentioned this, that Jeremy did this same thing last week on their show, on the morning show. I had no idea. I catch more of that show than ever because the clips that my son and G are posting on social media, so I see those in the morning when I get up, but I'm not riding around in my car or listening to, you know, entire segments of that show, or really any show for that matter. So I did not know that Jeremy had done that last week, so I'm sorry to be so redundant here. It's weird to me that he and I had the same dream. I understand it more from his perspective. He is the engineer of the wide receiver train. I'm on it. But he, you know, he's in charge. So, you know, he thinks about receiver, I think probably more than me, more than most humans, as it pertains to the Bills anyway. So anyway, sorry to be so repetitive. I had no idea that he had talked about this last week. Just a funny coincidence that I had a similar dream last night. One from Twitter real quick, and then we'll get to the phones here on the actual football. Mark writes in to tell me he had a dream last night where he was waiting in line to go down a water slide. In front of him was Mike Tyson and Bo Jackson. Behind him, Terry Pendleton. I mean, okay. I don't know. That's an incredible grouping of sports personalities. And weirdly specific that it's a water slide. But anyway, I mean, that's, you know, that's dreams for you. Who knows how any of this stuff works? 803-0550 is the number. Talking about receivers, talking about weird dreams that pertain to sports, I guess. Joe is first up this segment. Hi, Joe. Thank you for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hey, taking a backup to what you guys talked about yesterday. Sorry about that.
It's fine.
I'm wondering what your take is on the Chargers 3-0. They always been lurking in the background, but they've been looking up to the Chiefs. I think they're looking up to the Bills right now. But I've always been concerned about the Chargers. They just haven't been able to pull it together. Maybe this is the year they do. What are your thoughts?
I think it would be right to take them seriously at this point. I think as much as I – thanks for the call, Joe. As much as I don't like Jim Harbaugh mostly because of his style and his khaki pants, I think he's an excellent football coach. He's had success everywhere he goes. So I feel like that's a pretty seriously buttoned-up program. They are losing – rightly so, the reputation that Greg Roman really, and Harbaugh too, brought with them about just really being conservative, ground and pound, that kind of thing. They're letting Herbert cook more, and I think they're benefiting. Now, they're winning relatively close games, but there's no harm in that. They've got an excellent record, obviously, same as the Bills at 3-0. And I think the quarterback is ridiculously talented. Herbert has always been really talented. What we hadn't really seen is him put it all together or really be asked to do as much. He hasn't been asked to put it all together. I think it's been a weird offense earlier in his career. A lot of stuff to the running backs and just not I think, using his skill set to the best of its capabilities, and I think they're starting to unlock that now. I would be inclined to take them seriously. I mean, they lost a huge piece on their offensive line when their left tackle Slater went down in the summer, and they were able to move an excellent player from right to left in Joe Alt and replace the right tackle, and it doesn't seem like they're having any, you know, negative repercussions from that, which seems insane because Slater's such an excellent player. Yeah, I would take them seriously. You might want to dismiss them as not having been through the ringer yet, and therefore that it's not their turn, kind of thing. But sports doesn't wait for it to be your turn. I mean, they could take it. Like, to me, if I'm playing them in a playoff game, I'm going to be respecting it and really full of anxiety. There's no real familiarity you've got with them as an opponent. So I would take them seriously. Quentin Johnston is sort of one of the breakout guys of the early season here. I really like Ladd McConkey a lot. I don't know how much losing Najee Harris to an Achilles is going to hurt them. They have a highly drafted running back rookie in Omarion Hampton. I think it's a nice looking team. So I would, in fact, I would definitely take them seriously. We'll see. It's a long year. We'll see how, you know, battle tested they are, but they're the favorite to win that division right now. And they've got the same record as you. So yeah, I'm not like, whereas the Colts to me are, who are also 3-0, are a much bigger surprise. Like, nobody was making fun of the Chargers in the offseason, right? I had them behind the Chiefs in Denver in the pecking order, but I thought they'd be good. And we'll see. They're definitely good so far. Maybe they'll turn out to be great. Or maybe things will revert to, you know, the order will be restored. And the Chiefs will catch them, or even the Broncos. It's so early still, but yeah, I'm inclined to absolutely take them seriously. I think it would be silly not to. Whereas the Colts, you might want to give me the same speech that I just gave. But I don't think Daniel Jones is ridiculously talented. I think he's been mostly a pretty heavily flawed quarterback. But there is a skill set there. I mean, he's athletic enough. He can run, even though maybe he's most famous for falling down in the open field with only the end zone in front of him, like tripping on the 20 or whatever it was at the end of a long, long run on a night game many years ago when he was still with the Giants. He's athletic. He's making throws. What he's got is a very good coach in Shane Steichen, who perhaps, as much as I was, and many people were excited about them drafting Anthony Richardson, in part because of Shane Steichen and what he did helping Jalen Hurts break through. Like, that looks like a great marriage. It turns out maybe Anthony Richardson really is just cheeks. He's just not any good. And Steichen is getting peak performance out of Jones. And look, it's happened recently in the league. Just last year, Sam Darnold had an otherworldly, incredible year and led a team to 14 wins after basically wearing the same bust label that Daniel Jones has worn. So, you know, it's not that long ago in the summer that we were joking about the Colts. Oh, I can't believe they're going to actually start Daniel Jones instead of Anthony Richardson. Well, shame on us, because it's working and it's working great. I'm not convinced that that's going to last. It might, but it was a fluky win over Denver. I mean, they really did not need to get a second try at that field goal, but they did, and they got it. They blew out Miami, and yeah, I know Miami looked pluckier and not like done with their season or done with their head coach Thursday night here against the Bills. But I still think that that's a team that can be had and probably will be had by a lot of teams this year. And in between, what am I missing? Who did they just beat? Tennessee. So, you know, where the Chargers have a win over the Broncos, yes, close. A win over the Chiefs, yes, close. But still, those are two better wins than any of the three wins Indy has so far, I would say. So we'll see about the Colts, but I'm inclined to respect the Chargers at this point in time. 803-0550 is the number. Glenn is up next. Hi, Glenn. Thank you for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Yes, good afternoon, Bulldog. 2 points. Number one, with regards to, you know, what we refer to as everybody eats and what Josh has to, like, throw to, I sort of think like of Reggie Gilliam. He's a tremendous blocker, but I'd like to see him more in the passing game. Number two, Landon Jackson. Against, like, I'm looking at New Orleans, and I've been hearing really this isn't a strong football team. Is this the game that maybe we can get him in as the edge rusher?
It might be. You know, I think McDermott last week said that he was close to getting a jersey for the Miami game. So we'll see. I mean, what you have to do is find your way to pulling someone out. And they're all healthy up there as far as we know. And really the guy for me might be Javon Solomon. But there's a special teams element there, and I don't know how much they would trust Jackson to fill that role if he were to get the jersey in place of Solomon. I'm very disappointed by what we've seen from him. I'm not disappointed the Bills aren't playing him. I'm disappointed he did not force them to play him. The summer just kind of came and went.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The preseason games came and went, and there just was not anything there. So I don't think that means he's the worst draft pick we've ever seen. A.J. Epenesa did not get a jersey early in his NFL career here with the Bills in his rookie year. And, you know, he's also not become a Pro Bowl player, but he's a solid rotational second contract NFL player. And, you know, maybe that's the track that you can hope that Jackson is on. I don't think it's an outrage or anything that he's not playing. But in a vacuum, I've heard Sal talk about this. We'll probably get into it with him again at 5. Like, I can appreciate that the Bills are deep enough that they don't have a jersey for a third-round pick, but I'd like the third-round pick to be good enough to just demand one. You know, he's being outplayed, albeit by a guy who's been here a year longer, but a guy that was picked much later on Saturday in his draft year in Solomon. So it's not a great sign, but there's plenty of time for that to hopefully come together. I still do really like the athletic profile, but he just was not ready, even in the preseason against not necessarily number ones at the tackle position, ready to win at the line of scrimmage and win pass rush reps, even in practice. So it's gonna be a while, I think, before he really becomes someone that you see regularly. But could they fit him in somewhere? Maybe even this week against this opponent? You know, perhaps. We'll see. But there's not going to be any gifts given. So one thing I can assure you is that the Bills are not going to worry about how it looks that the third-round pick isn't dressing. They're going to play the guys that they think are the best. And right now, that is not Landon Jackson, and I'm disappointed about it because I really liked that draft pick a lot. Really, of the three guys, right, they traded up for Sanders, defensive tackle, in the second round, got Jackson in the third round, and got Walker in the fourth round. Walker is saving that run of picks right now because Walker looks the most reliable and ready to be counted on of those three guys. Sanders, at least, has been in a uniform. But there's going to be a question about that in a few weeks when Larry Ogunjobi gets back. So, and something else to mix into the Landon Jackson getting a jersey is Michael Hoyt also coming back. So it might be a redshirt year for both of those guys, Sanders and I would keep dressing Walker. I mean, I would freak out if they pulled Walker out of the lineup at this point. I think he's had some really, really good reps here. You know, not a ton, but enough to want to keep going with that. Thank you very much for the call. 803-0550 is the number. It's a weird little combo platter. We're talking about, well, not so much the Bills receivers here in the last few minutes, but, you know, that's on my mind. The season through three games, and also this weird dream I had last night where I was playing wide receiver for the Bills. I know I'm a 60-year-old man who really can't even run, let alone jump. That's what we're talking about. Steve Bennett on the Saints coming up at 4, Sal at 5. I'm the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.